Have you ever had times of victory and you think, man, I am good, I am over this? And then something happens and you find that sin or that attitude is still buried deep within you. In the middle of that valley or that trial, it rises to the surface. Sometimes we think, I have crucified the flesh. And then you go through a trial and where's that flesh? It raises its head like, I'm still here. And you're like, oh, I thought I killed you. Listen, trials and suffering reveal to us places we still need to grow. Our struggles rise to the top and we get a glimpse. That is the time to confess, to repent, and to move forward. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio as we continue in the Hope Restored series. Last time, we saw that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Today, in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 14 through 32, we continue with the gospel gates. As the people rebuild the city, each gate tells part of the story. The dung gate, or the refuge gate, reminds us of cleansing. The fountain gate points us to living water, meaning renewal. And the water gate reminds us of God's word. The horse gate speaks of spiritual warfare. And the east gate points us to hope and expectation. Together they paint a beautiful picture. God is restoring his people from the inside out. The gospel is not just how we begin our walk with God. It's how we continue growing in him. And every season of spiritual growth is an invitation to trust God's transformation work. Today, let's ask ourselves, which area of your life is God inviting you to surrender so he can continue his work of restoration? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 14 through 32 in today's lesson, The Gospel Gates.
After the fish gate comes the old gate. Now remember, this was the timeless truth of the Word of God and the need for every one of us, listen to me, to be grounded in the Word of God. The foundation has to come through Jesus' Word. And let me say this to you, Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, before he says anything about earthquakes or famines or pestilence or anything, he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. It's almost like the king of the universe, the God of all gods, looked down and said, oh yeah, there's going to be these YouTube yahoos. There's going to be these, you know, all this stuff that's going to try to deceive us. The internet, the social media, all this stuff, and them trying to pull us away from the foundation of the Word of God. We have to be careful. We need the word. We need to be grounded in the word of God. As a matter of fact, Peter writes in 1 Peter 24 and 25, he says this, listen, all flesh is grass. Look at it on the screen. All flesh is grass. And all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Okay, why are you telling this? Because he says the grass withers and the flower falls away. But the word of God endures forever. What's he saying? What's he saying is, he's saying, man, we're here for a short time. The time span, he says, all flesh is grass. And what happens to grass? Eventually. Now, after the old gate, he says, there's the valley gate. What is the valley gate? This is not a gate you and I like to go through. These are the trials and the tribulations. This is the suffering that comes into our lives. And let me say this, in the conference we learned this past weekend, was that all suffering has a purpose. All suffering that we go through has a purpose. There's an end result. Maybe we don't see it this side of heaven, but there is. And you and I, there are times that we walk through the valley gate. One thing that we all have to grasp is and understand is that we all go through trials. Deep, dark valleys, those times of testing. Have you ever been to the place where you said, man, I wonder what's going on? What's happening? Why is this going on? But those trials are necessary because they produce several things in us. You go, what's that? You ready? Jot this down. Trials produce in us patience. Patience. Would you consider yourself a patient person? I'm pretty patient. Well, James says this. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I don't know what you're talking about, James, because I've never been joyful in my trials. But he says this, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You go, Pastor, your point? Here it is. Trials produce in us patience. Patience. If you go, Pastor Ben, I'm a patient person, then I say, you're a person who's been through a lot of things. There's been a lot of trials in your life. Number two, trials reveal our genuine, if our faith is genuine. Remember, we use the analogy, we use the illustration. Plastic in the fire. What's going to happen when you put plastic in the fire? It's going to burn. It's going to burn. Let me give you another illustration. How many of you like tea? How many of you like tea instead of coffee? Shame on you. You got to have coffee. But nonetheless, tea. What do you do with tea, right? You take the tea bag and you put it in hot water. Why do you put it in hot water? Because it lets you know what kind of tea it is. That's when the tea comes out. Trials reveal if our faith is genuine. Number three, trials reveal to us a new side of the Lord. You go, well, like, what do you mean? Well, his presence in our lives. His presence in our lives. When I look at scripture, I can think of three individuals. Do you remember who they are? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in literally a fiery furnace, a trial of their life. And remember, where was Jesus? Jesus was with them in the fire. The one thing I need to grasp, I don't know about you, the one thing that I need to grasp, oftentimes I want God to remove me from the fiery dungeon. God, come and take it away. God, blow out the fire. And oftentimes God goes, no, I'm going to be with you in this. Another one, when you think about David in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. The greatest gift, guys, the greatest gift you can walk through in this life is the presence of God with you. The presence of God. Oh, how we need to lean into that, church. How we need to lean in. Lord, fill us with your presence. Lord, come and fill this place. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want church to be the same thing that we do week in and week out, Wednesday to Wednesday. Oh, there's nothing wrong with coming in here, worshiping up our hands and singing and playing and listening in the worship time and the music time, but if I'm going to take time to come and be in God's word, then I want his presence. I want to be changed and transformed. I want the areas of my life, your life. I want those areas. I want God to convict me in those areas so I can bring him to the foot of the cross. Lord, what am I doing wrong? Where am I? I don't want to walk out those doors the same way I walked in. Wow, that's a good sermon. Hey, man, that was funny. Pastor Ben is fine. I want to come in and just, Lord. And we sing it, caught up in your presence. If you're taking note, I found this today. I found it very interesting that God is the Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord of peace in the midst of a fire. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or you can also write Yahweh Shalom, which can be translated, the Lord is complete, or the Lord brings security. Listen to this. Listen, it refers to God being able to calm the storms of life. Yes. But it's more about his ability to give us everything we need to get through life. For example, C.S. Lewis once wrote, quote, life with God is not immunity from difficulties, but peace in difficulties, end quote. What a great, isn't that true? You go, Pastor, what was his point? God is everything we need to get through the hard times we all face. God. Well, moving on, there's a fourth thing that happens to us in times of trial. You go, what's that? Jot this down. Trials reveal where we still need to grow. Trials reveal where we still need to grow. And if you think about 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gold refiner's fire, the gold put in the fire. What happens? You take some gold and you put it in the fire and you turn up the heat. What's going to happen to the gold is the impurities are going to rise to the top. And then what the goldsmith does is he wipes away all the impurities, okay? He lets it cool down, then he turns up the heat again, all the impurities, and he keeps doing this, and I'll tell you when. You ready? Until he can see his reflection in the gold. When he can see his reflection, oh, come on, somebody, you got to get this. Because if you're a believer, this is what he does in our life. The master never takes his hand off the heat, right? He never turns up the heat and watches the gold. Oh, I got something else in the oven. Excuse me. And he runs over here. And then next thing you know, it's like, ah, ah, right? You ever done that with your eggs? I haven't. I'm just saying. But in your life, what does he do? He turns up the heat in your life. And the goal is, Raina, is that he wants to look down and see his reflection in you. Wow. So the trials you go through are going to help you grow. Growing doesn't mean this way where we don't need God. Growing means, oh my, I need the Lord even more. But it's so beautiful. You've got to understand that. In those times, church, we don't abandon our faith. But yet there are times when we don't pass the test. You go, Ben, what do you mean? Well, the impurities in our lives could be we say things we don't mean. We react in ways that are not proper. Let's chat for just a moment, okay? Have you ever had the thought, that thing or habit is not a problem anymore? Have you ever had times of victory and you think, man, I am good. I am over this. And then something happens and you find that sin or that attitude is still very deep within you. In the middle of that valley or that trial, it rises to the surface. Sometimes we think, I have crucified the flesh. And then you go through a trial and where's that flesh? It raises its head. It's like, I'm still here. And you're like, oh, I thought I killed you. Listen. Trials and suffering reveal to us places we still need to grow. Our struggles rise to the top and we get a glimpse. That is the time to confess, to repent, and to move forward. Now, in the midst of the valleys, our sin becomes apparent in the areas that we still need to grow and revealed. So you go, okay. So what happens next? Guys, jot this down. It's the refuge gate. It's the refuge gate, or known as the dung gate. And this speaks of the necessity for you and I to constantly examine our own life in order to rid himself of unconfessed sin. We walk through the gate. Oh, okay, Lord, search my heart. Where am I? God, what do we say? What do you say? So do a spiritual inventory, because I don't want to have something hidden. And that's the gate you need to walk. It's the dung gate. Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 14. Malchijah, the son of Rechab, leader of the district of Beth Hasirim, repaired the refuge gate, and he built it, and he hung its doors with its bolt and its bars. But even lower than the valley gate was the refuge gate. Now, here's what you need to know about the dung gate. If you were to look at Israel, the sheep gate would start up top. The dung gate would be way at the bottom. You're coming around this way. You go, okay, well, what's the point? What's the point? Listen, this was the lowest point in the city for you see, in those days, why would we put the refuge or the dung gate at the bottom? Because they didn't have a sewer system. So all the refuge would come and go out through that gate. Come on, somebody. You're exactly, this is it. It would be taken out of this gate. It would come through the gate and go through to the valley, this is just the Gehenna outside. But think about it. I want you to think about it for a minute. The refuge gates, it would be smelly. It would be dirty. This was not a fun gate to work on. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Jesse! Step up. You got the refuge gate, buddy. Oh, what did I do? Are you kidding me? And so then you would see Jesse like this walking at the gate. Okay, what are you doing, bro? Going to work at the gate, man, because it smelled. It was everybody. It was everybody in the city. It was coming in. It's the equivalent of working at the sewer plant. That's what it was. And you think about this. There was a joke going around in the days of the refuge plant that you could have anything that you could find. Diamond rings. After all, the refuge was removed, you would find things. Here's the point. You ready? Sometimes in the valley, the refuge, the dung, it comes out of our lives. And you go, what does that do? Well, it causes two reactions. You go, what does that mean? When the refuge of our life is revealed, you can immediately deal with it. Come on, somebody. You can cry out to the Lord going, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. You see, in the refuge gate, yes, anything you found of value you could keep after it passed through the refuge and it was cleaned up. Well, that's exactly like us. We are a diamond, But sometimes we need to be clean. And so when the Lord begins, you deal with it. Or, you know what another reaction could be for us? We can simply get used to it. You see, the day was when we assigned Jesse the refuge gate, the dung gate. He used to wear a mask and he used to wear nose plugs and he hated it, but he did it because he loved Jesus. But you know, I saw him the other day and he was going to work and he doesn't wear that anymore. And I asked him, Brother Jesse, what's going on? You're at the refuge, you're building the refuge gate. And you know what he said? Oh, I've gotten used to it. It doesn't bother me anymore. Spiritually speaking, is that where we are in our lives? We have to definitely need to watch out for that. When sin, when dung, if you will, is our life is revealed, be careful that we don't just get used to the smell and that we don't get immune to it. That's fine. That's fine. That's good. You go, well, Ben, you said, what do we do with it? Ready? Jot this down. Deal with it quickly. What does that mean? Repent. Deal with it quickly. Quickly. My prayer is that we would never get used to the ungodliness of our world. And we would have the Holy Spirit reminding us of the smell in the world and in our lives. Ooh, yes. May the Lord burn within our hearts and the conviction for righteousness. Well, once confession is made and the dung is carried out, we come to the next gate. Guys, if you have a pencil handy, it's the fountain gate. Look at me, verse 15. Verse 15, Nehemiah 3:15, Shallum and the son of Kohathath, the leader of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it. He covered it. He hung its doors with bolts and bars. He repaired the wall, the pool of Siloam, the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. Guys, if you have a pencil handy, jot this down. You need to know what the fountain gate is because that's renewal. That's known as renewal and our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, this is where we need to be. Once we're walking through, we've gone through the sheep gate, we've gone through all the gates and even the refuge gates are purging all that junk out of our lives and we need to have and be filled with God's Holy Spirit. The filling of God's Holy Spirit. Remember the beautiful words that Jesus told us in John chapter 7, 34 and through 39. John 7, 34 through 39 says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorified. So many times, church, when we blow it, we ask for forgiveness, then we come to a place of longing for a deeper work of the Lord in our spirit. And we pray for a fresh touch from God in our lives. Once the dung is carried out, we realize, Lord, I know you. I want to serve you. I love your word. I love your word. Guys, the fountain gate is a place where we can say, Father, I'm not going to stop seeking you for that overflowing experience in the Spirit. Look at me. I think that's where the church is missing it. There are three Greek prepositions for the Spirit. The first one is para, P-A-R-A. That's when the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. He's coming alongside you. And this is where he comes along and he encircles you. So we get that word periscope or parachute. It's encircling you. When you give your life to Jesus, listen to me, church. It's the Greek word in. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. He now guides you and he begins to teach you. It's amazing. But where we're missing it is the third Greek preposition is epi. It's the epi experience. It's when we sit here and go, God, fill me with you. And it's the overflowing filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the world has done, and the church has done a bad job of going, okay, and then we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they get all crazy and everybody freaks out. And it's a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. We find that, but we're missing it in churches because we're like, we're afraid of it. What's going to happen? But we should be asking for that every time we come in. God, fill me with your Spirit. You see, it's not a one and done. It's not a fill me up, you know, and then I'm like, it's constantly, Lord, fill me. This should be the first thing that we speak every morning. Lord, use me and fill me with your Spirit, God. I want more of you. The Holy Spirit's going to help you with those tough conversations. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. You know, when God puts divine appointments in your life, you'll know what to say. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you in those times of trials when you're like, I don't know what's going on. And he's going to give you this inner peace. That's the Holy Spirit, but we're missing it. My prayer for you today, guys, before we leave, is take a moment, even during worship, and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I want to walk through the fountain gate. I need that place of renewal, not to be afraid of it. After the fountain gate, after we're renewed, after we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, doing and glorifying God, the next gate we come to as we make our way up in the city is the water gate. The water gate. Jump to verse 26. Nehemiah 3:26 says, moreover, the Nethinim who dwelt in Othel made repairs as far as the place in front of the water gate towards the east and on the projecting tower. Guys, circle that, the water gate. What's the water gate? Want to go in through this gate? Can't go in through the wall, got to go in through the gate. Here's what it is. It represents refreshment of the word of God. Refreshment of the word of God. One thing that happens in the life of the believer after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit is they'll have a great thirst and hunger for God's word. You need to listen to me. When we're filled and ask for the Holy Spirit, we'll want more of God's word and more of God's word and more of God's word. You see, right now, on a physical level, if we go eat one of these buffets, all you can eat, we can go in there and we can walk away so full that we think we're never going to eat again. Oh my gosh, did you realize? Oh man, I had this, whatever it might be. And you know, you guys, some of us have eaten to the place where it hurts. You're just like, oh, it hurt. You know, specifically Texas Roadhouse, when you eat the rolls. Man, you eat five of those rolls and you're like, but then your steak comes and you're like, ah, here's the point. It's opposite with the word of God. The word of God, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. It's like, I can't put it down. Hey man, what were you doing up till 1 a.m. the other day? Oh man, I was reading and I was reading God's word and I just couldn't put it down. He was just speaking to me. I knew I had to get up and go to work, but it was just like, I was, wow, Lord. And then I'd read the word and I'd meditate just a little bit and he'd speak to me and we just have this great day. And I just didn't even think of the time. And it's the water gate. It's the water gate, guys. Have you walked through the water gate? We all need to walk through the water gate. We need that refreshment from the word of God. Listen. The old gate, that spoke of the doctrinal side of the word, okay? The teaching side of God's word, knowing the truth in God's word. The water gate speaks of devotion side and a quiet time side. When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, bro, how's your quiet time? That's exactly what he's saying. Have you walked through the water gate? And we need to be asking that now. Hey, Ben, have you walked through the water gate? Oh, yeah, I had a great water gate experience this morning, man. People think we're crazy. They'll think of Nixon or some Watergate. Are you kidding me? What is that? No. It's different. Why? Listen to me, church. It's that we need to sit down and allow the word to touch us in the deepest part of our hearts. Listen, it's one thing to study the word. That's important. Got to study the word. But it's a different thing to have the Lord speak to you and refresh your heart. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.